Raised Rowdy.
Well, guys, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have our guest, Mr. Gannon Fremen. Gannon, thanks for being here with us.
Yeah, you bet, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
Hell yeah.
All the way from Oklahoma, right?
Yep.
Still in Oklahoma?
Yep. I'm in South Oklahoma.
Hell yeah. I've been talking... I said that to Kurt, I was like, we've been covering you since maybe like 2019, something like that.
Yeah, probably in there.
When you guys were doing stuff with Texas Local Live.
Yeah.
Is kind of when we found you.
Yeah.
Because we were like chatting with those boys and been fans of the music since then, man.
Well, thanks, man. We've been fans of you guys, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Aww. How's everything been going, man? What's been going on in your world?
It's been good. We just been kind of trying to stay after it. Signed to a booking agency, so that helps a bunch with getting shows and stuff. And we've just been playing as much as we can, trying to write new stuff, and just doing the same thing we've been doing.
Yeah, you know? Grinding so, out.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, before everyone was kind of doing the rock and roll thing in that market, you guys were, like, dipping in heavy. And I mean, I've loved your stuff since, I guess, like, your first, was it an EP or just singles you were dropping?
Yeah, we put out, so our first thing that we put out was a single, and then we put out an EP with the single on it under our first band name, which was Cross County Revenue.
Yep.
And then we switched
to Gannon
Fremen, CC Rev.
CC Rev.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's cool to see it grow. And I mean, honestly, like the sound that you guys have been doing is something that I think is like getting embraced more, you know, throughout not just the Texas, Oklahoma scene, but all around the country now, which is sick.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly seems like it.
Yeah.
For sure. That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. How about so you talked about a booking agent. Have you seen like new rooms, or is it just kind of taken, were you guys handling that yourself in-house and it just kind of took that off your plate, or anything that's like kind of helped with?
Yeah, whenever we were doing it in-house, it was we were seeing a lot of cool rooms, being able to get some places.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'd be like, go play a Saturday here.
Yeah.
And then you come back home.
Yep.
And now with the booking agent, you know, you can kind of put a vision together and be like, hey, we're going to go here. And then you're not, you know, spending $1,000 to get to California for one night and driving home. Now you're, you know.
Getting the route there, too.
Yeah, you're getting the routing back, and you get to talk to more people and make more money when you get home. So it helps a bunch, for sure.
Absolutely. How many dates a year have you do you think you guys are doing right now, on average?
I'm not sure. We're probably doing... I mean, average, I'd probably say 5 a month, 6 a month, somewhere in there. But a lot of months, we don't, you know, we play every weekend.
Yeah.
We play Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
And then normally at the end of summertime, you know, kind of right in here, we always take a few weeks off just for everybody to kind of hang out, go to the lake.
Yeah.
You know, school's starting back up. So let everybody kind of hang out for a minute. And then at Christmas time, we normally stop for a little bit and then come back
take
up.
Take a break.
So, yeah.
Same with us.
Yeah, you got to do that for sure.
I know. It's like sometimes I'm like not looking forward to these off days, you know, like I miss it. And then sometimes it's like you just sit at home for a day, not have to do anything. I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Kurt doesn't have too many of those days because he just schedules every off day like it's a work day. So
true.
Yeah.
Bergman last night was like, dude, you're like the busiest dude. I'm like, Nick is way busier than me. It just looks like I'm busier because I have people taking photos of me at the shows and stuff all the time.
Well, you're also in front of 60,000 people and I'm in front of like 150. So, yeah, different thing.
150 you know? Emails per minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's cool to watch it grow. And so, like, the most recent single is the last one you guys dropped was White Girl.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and how you got that song?
So
I cannot wait to hear about this.
Well, it's there's a guy in town here, Joey Green, and I wrote with Joey yesterday. But whenever we were coming up, Joey's from Texas, and so whenever we were coming up, we would all the bars and stuff that we were playing, his name would always be like, it'd say like us and then Joey Friday. You know, everywhere we were going, we kept seeing his name. So finally, we ended up contacting him, and then making a bunch of his shows, and then we started opening for Joey, and anyway, he had that song White Girl, he wrote it, and his band never played it. Like, it was just from his, you know, from us listening to his record and stuff, and I was like, man, I really like that song. So we had it recorded, we were going to put it on the EP we were working on before that, and I was like, guys, I was like, I think this song, like, it just fits us. We've been playing it forever.
Yeah.
You know, ever since we heard it the first time, 8 years ago, we played it.
Right.
So it's like, we know the song. I'm like, let's just wait. We'll do it as a single, and we'll try to kind of mix it up a little bit. So we went in and recorded it and got it put out, and it's done good for us so far.
Yeah,
so.
Super cool. It's rocking. I think it fits your guys' vibe really well, which makes sense if you've been playing it for that long.
Right, you know? Yeah.
It's like Red Dirt, Crazy Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. You know? But I love it. What would you, if you were talking about a Gannon show, like your guys' show, how would you kind of talk about it? Like, what would you hope that people leave there experiencing?
Well, I'd hope that everybody that came felt like they got their money's worth.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody had a good time. But we're pretty loud. We're pretty rowdy. We like to do a lot of jam parts and a lot of just, you know, and I really like to talk to the crowd too and make sure everybody's having a good time. So we kind of try to make it more about, you know, them instead of just everything that we do on stage. Try to make it, you know, each venue has, you know, certain things there and certain parts about the town and stuff. And we try to kind of, you know, work into some of that stuff and make sure that everybody, wherever we're at, just has a good time. And
yeah.
We hang out at the merch booth after, you know, so we're all over there drinking and hanging out. We just try to make it, you know, a good party, a good time to get away from life for a minute and come check us out and hang out.
Yeah.
What's the live lineup like? Who's in the band? And let's get some band guy shout outs.
Yeah.
I'm a band guy, so I like doing this.
The band guys are the cool guys. Those are the ones. Yeah. But, yeah. Tyler McCartney, he plays drums, and then Travis Julian plays guitar, and Wade Cartwright plays bass.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we've been the same band. We started when we were 16. We played me and Wade started playing together, and then we got Tyler on, and then Wade and Tyler played in another band with Travis, and they called me like, "Hey, I think this guy's your guy for guitar player." They were like, "Let's get him." And so we brought him on, and then ever since then, we've just been playing.
Been the same.
Yeah, been the same four guys the whole time.
That's great. Know? And I'm sure that's like you built brotherhood and just get better together, knowing what each other is going to do, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, none of us have ever played in another band other than, you know, filling dates and doing stuff here and there. We've all just been just us four together. Just knowing we was going to do it. So
Super cool. We're still
here trying to do it.
Yeah.
I love it, man. Whenever we do podcasts with like bands, it's always like, I want to start a band. I'm going to do it one of these days when I have a lot of free time.
Yeah.
Which will be never.
Yeah. Yeah, Kurt has this like idea that he wants to do like a Dio style band with.
For sure. I do want to get TJ Lyle to sing and then we just play like Black Sabbath shit, but it's like with Dio singing, like that kind of. Because those Black Sabbath with Dio records are fucking so sick. Yeah. I just want to make that countryer. And then done.
Yeah. I'd be interested to hear that.
It'd be sick.
Yeah. So what like music did you grow up on? Was it like the Texas scene? Was it everything? Was it rock?
Yeah.
No, it was kind of, my whole family plays and sings.
Yeah.
On my mom's side, there's probably 10 bands on my mom's side of the family.
Whoa.
And they all do like old country, you know, stuff like that. So that's kind of what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
Like Gary Stewart and all the old stuff.
Yeah.
And then once I got into high school a little bit, being where I'm at, Texas country and Red Dirt was just there. Yeah. I mean, you don't even got to look for it.
Yeah.
So once I got into high school and stuff and started really wanting to get into music myself, you know, it was Ragweed and Randy Rogers and all that kind of stuff was there. So, you know, it's just kind of a mix of everything.
Do you remember like some of the first shows from that scene you saw?
Yeah, we had this place that was south of us about 30 minutes that all the big artists would come through and they would let anybody in like 18 and up. So as soon as we turned 18, we could all go down there on a school night and it'd just get wild. But, but yeah, I remember Randy Rogers coming through there. I remember William Clark Green.
Hello, William.
Same.
He came through there and he had, there was like 30 of us there and he was playing in like a little front room. I remember him coming through there. Randy Rogers for sure, Cody Canada.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everybody kind of, you know, it was kind of a tour stop there. So that's everybody kind of passed through.
Yeah. So that fed the thing. And then at what point, like, how old were you guys when you physically started the band?
Me and Wade started the band when we were 16. But I had a show booked just playing acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I told Wade, I'm like, hey, do you want to come play bass? And he was like, well, I don't know how to play the bass. And I was like, well, you're fine. I'm like, it's just a bass. So I taped the...
Oh, man. I cannot wait to tell Matt about this.
So I put like tape on the back of the headstock and just wrote the notes that were on there.
Oh, yeah.
We only had to do like five songs.
Yeah.
And I was like, just if you see me do this, do this. Yeah. So he made it through with me on that show. And then it wasn't long after that, me and him were like, man, we like that. Like, we're going to do it. So
yeah.
we started from there, just, you know, building the whole thing. And I think it was like 2017, maybe, whenever we got, like, we finally got Travis. You know, it took us like two years there to get everything put together.
Get it rolling.
Yeah. And then once we got Travis in there, it was all good to go. So
yeah. And then, so you started doing that, mostly touring the Texas market. How extensively have you guys left the, like, Texas, Oklahoma scene market? Like, how often does that happen?
Well, it took us a little while to do that. And then it kind of starts, like, once you start leaving it every now and then, then it just becomes more often and more often.
Yep.
And it got to there, like, about 2 years ago, it got to where we didn't play Texas.
Yeah.
You know, we would stay out of there.
Yeah.
Not because we wanted to. It was just we weren't working down there and we were working elsewhere, so we were going, you know. But lately we've been out with Treaty Oak.
That's sick.
You know, like this last year we've been out with Treaty Oak. We were out with them a lot, you know, of the year, and then getting on the booking agent, of course, he books,
really,
you know,
helps.
Wherever. So,
yeah.
How
did you guys meet up with Treaty Oak or get to know them?
Sam, the guy that sings for Treaty Oak.
Yeah.
So I live in Marlow, and Sam lives near there.
Okay.
So I met him the first time or whatever, and he was telling me like where he was from,
and
I thought that he knew me. And was like bullshitting me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I was like, hey, where are you from? And he told me. And I was like, oh, this dude. I'm like, what? So I walk off. Well, he comes back up like 30 minutes later. And he's like, hey, man, no, seriously. He's like, I know like who you are. Like, I'm not too far from you. You know, so me and him got to talking. And ever since then, me and him just been good friends.
That's great.
You know? So,
yeah, their thing's been popping like crazy, too.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. They're really good.
It's cool to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right place, right time.
Yeah.
Awesome music.
Great songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Sam like talking to me about them, and honestly, one of our writers that's like kind of our editor now that doesn't write for us too much, Stacy, was like, I'm gonna cover this record. It doesn't have like a lot of like people on it yet. I'm like, yeah, it's good. Cover it. You know?
Absolutely.
Like, and now they're super big, which is sick.
It's
we got to see them at Bulls, Bands and Barrels Festival, which is like a rodeo with like music at the end kind of.
Yeah, cool.
Super cool. It's like in a small arena in Kentucky, and that was my first time seeing them, and I was like, fuck.
Yeah, man.
Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, they rock.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Super cool. And honestly, I feel like that crossover with your guys' music and their music's like pretty much 100%.
Yeah, it's fun. It really is. It's a cool matchup, and the fans, you know, everybody that's there always loves it, and it just gets, we like to try to see who can outwild the other one.
Yeah.
You know? So it gets fun.
That's great.
I mean, how would you describe this kind of music? Like
that scene?
Yeah.
I mean, it's rock and roll. It's just like...
It's kind of like the Red Dirt, but with a little bit more rock, just like the gain on it turned up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, if you talk about Cross Canadian Ragweed, right? Like, they were kind of doing that. But then it's like Kurt talked about, it's kind of like even more amplified. It's even like heavier rock now.
Right.
It's like where the guitar and Ragweed was a little bit more what you were kind of used to in the scene of Texas at that time.
Right.
Now it's like the guitar is developed and the sound sonically sounds a little bit heavier and more like grungy and things like that a little bit.
Yeah. Not like heavy, like as in like heavy metal or like, you know, or like Creed, like we were talking about earlier, but like, less acoustic driven, you know?
Yes,
like,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's cool. And I mean, it makes sense, you know, as things develop, you know. And I was talking to people that are kind of like more in the traditional, like maybe like not Cody Johnson style, but in that vein.
Right.
And they were like, man, we're having trouble in college markets because they want the heavy stuff.
Right.
You know, they want the stuff that is more like rock leaning now in that college market.
So right.
Usually tell you if a college market's starting to look like that, that's what all the markets are going to look like in a few years or more like that. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see that tide kind of rising.
And you could tell rock's coming back. And I was driving, and I saw this girl. She's probably 12 years old, in like the black baggy pants with like the wallet chain and black like Invader Zim T-shirt. You know, I'm like, what year is it? You know, it's like 2004 all over again. Yep. Now again, I'm like, I guess
it
that's
really
cool
is.
Now. Yeah,
it is, man. We were at Creed, and like people watching, of course, is electric at Creed. Just general,
yeah.
The T-shirts were amazing. But I was like, look at all the metal mommies walking around, you know?
Yeah, they were out for sure.
And the metal mommies ranged in age from like 60 to like 17, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, this is crazy. What, but
were people enjoying the music at the Creed show because they loved it? Or was there like this irony kind of vibe?
I will say yes to both of those.
Okay.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah, I think it's kind of both.
And the vibes were high.
Yeah, vibes were definitely high, I think, in general. Mm-hmm. But you saw, like, the old heads there that were like, this is the music of my...
Bro, like, Human Clay, I wore that record out.
Yeah.
I mean, had a little Walkman.
Realistically, Scott's probably better now than he was in 05 because he's not all fucked up.
He did rule. I mean, he killed it, man.
Yeah, and his stage presence is great. It's just, like, his stage presence kind of a bit, you know?
Yeah.
And in rock, that's fine.
Yeah.
They're all, like, shredded now, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're all, like, being good boys, and Tremonti is... electric. Dude, I mean, he's so good.
He shreds, bro.
Yeah.
He's so good at guitar.
Yeah, man, it was cool.
That's the thing. In my head, like, I can't look away from Tremonti when he's playing. He's just...
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that you're just like, okay, he's so good at guitar.
My whole Instagram feed was all Creed the last 24 hours, but production looked cool, too. They had cryo and...
Dude, they had everything.
Yeah. They had, they had, like, lights on top of them that looked like a spaceship.
Yeah.
And it was, like, looked like it was trying to fly out of there when they walked on.
And the backdrop is video... But it looked like if you took Tool's video and mixed it with Winamp and put those two together.
Winamp.
Yeah. You probably don't know what Winamp is, but you're too young. Sure. Winamp is like the media player that you'd play like your songs on your computer.
Yeah.
And they just had like flowing like visual.
Yeah.
You know, so like last night you saw that flowing visual.
Yeah.
In my head, I was like, some of this looks like stuff you'd see in like a Tool video, but then you mixed it with like the 90s or 2000s Winamp.
Yeah.
Bro, I love you, man. That's funny as shit.
Yeah.
Winamp.
Yeah. It's cool to see rock starting to bubble back up too.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see if guys like Co and guys like Hardy that are in that like firm crossover where they had like success when considered like the country genre. And now are starting to kind of cross over into mainstream traditional rock. If they're going to bring back some kind of like bubble of that, right? And guys like Treaty Oak and you guys and everyone that's in that scene is kind of like helping make that another part of society where, because for a while, rock music was just artists that were 20 years old putting out new stuff. That was the only stuff that was getting any traction. Sure. So I'm hoping that what this does is kind of bubbles that scene back up. And guys from Oklahoma and Texas, I feel like are at the forefront of that.
Yeah. I definitely think that it just kind of caught on down there and it's not necessarily everybody does it from down there. You know, there's still other stuff that's going on, but, I think down there, it's just more of like a, not necessarily an attitude against people, but more just like an attitude, like we're going to try to make this and make it not necessarily sound like everything else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, eventually everything's going to, you know, end up where it sounds the same. But I think that's the main thing is everybody's trying to kind of, you know,
figure out their lane in it.
Yeah, everybody's just trying to figure it out. And it seems like that's what's around there. So it's like, you know, you hear it, you play it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I think it's really powerful too when you start seeing a fan base really embrace it, right?
Yeah.
So you said you guys have been touring outside of markets. Is there any market that you kind of like went to and you're like, wow, I didn't know they'd love this as much as they did?
California.
Cali.
Yeah, it was crazy. I had no clue. You know, we were out with Treaty Oak and stuff and we get there, you know, it's sold out and the crowd's screaming our songs back to us.
So great.
And I'm like, California? Like, I didn't figure anybody would even buy a shirt over there, you know? We're just going, you know, we're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
And we get over there and everybody knew, you know,
Everybody was
tapped into it. Yeah.
That's so amazing, though.
Love it.
It shows you the power of, like, not necessarily social media, but, like, streaming. And if you really find something that you love, you can find other stuff that's in that vein that you love, too.
Yeah.
You know? Which I think is the most powerful thing about streaming services.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And that ties in with the booking, too, because you can get all that data.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen to the Aaron podcast, everybody.
Yeah. That's one of the interesting things about this. So we had, like, a... Aaron Tannenbaum, who's like a big booking agent. He books
for Luke Combs. Yeah.
Cool.
And so like just getting to hear his insight on, I know that if it's this weekend of these, if it's a college in town weekend and we can get the Friday before that, it's going to crush, you know, like just hearing like little nuggets of things that he's learned over the years.
Absolutely.
You know, that you don't even think about, like you said, like you're trying to book a gig because it's a good gig. And then you're like, all right, let's go out to it. And you're not thinking about, oh, I need a, even if it's a smaller paying gig, I need a gig on the way out and a gig on the way back. You know? We're booking agents. That's literally what they do. And it's relationships, just like anything else. Like, I'm sure when y'all were booking your own stuff, it's about finding that venue owner that digs what you do and then getting the next date with them, you know, when you got it.
Yeah.
People that believe in you and that you believe in. you know, with a booking agent, they have a whole set of relationships already. So I can kind of lean on those to help get you in new rooms and things like that.
Yeah, it's definitely not sometimes not the easiest going around telling people that you want to play their bar.
Yeah.
You know, if you just show up, they're like, okay, cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, I feel like it always gives like a layer of credibility when you have someone doing it for you. They're like, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah. Well, especially too, it's like, you know, we want to go play Amarillo.
Mm-hmm.
And so we drive down to Amarillo and try to get into a bar. And they're like, well, are you going to sell any tickets here? And it's like, probably not.
Yeah.
Like,
not the first time.
Don't really know.
Aaron talked about that. Specifically Amarillo and how it's hard to sell tickets there.
Yeah.
Even if you stream well there.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is funny that you brought it up.
It's Which crazy.
Is, it's just, but it's like, if I own the bar, I wouldn't want me to come in there and play either, you know?
Yeah, it's like, a weird thing. It's, and that's what I would talk about too. I'm like, record labels are weird, but they need to make money, right?
Yeah.
So if you're signing up for a record label, you're signing up to make them money. Right?
Absolutely. Like,
that's how it works, you know? And if not, then don't sign up with a record label,
absolutely.
You know? Then you can do whatever you want, you know? But, I mean, every part of that puzzle, from booking agents to, like, management to a label to, I mean, the guys in the band, you know? It's all about everyone pushing forward together, you know?
Yeah, it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. What are some of the things that, like, if you could go back and tell 16-year-old version of you starting that band up, you know, what's some of the things that you maybe give advice to yourself?
I think about this all the time. At like, if I had to restart,
mm-hmm.
how I could get to where I'm at now in such a little amount of time.
Yeah.
But me with the guys, like with having us that's been together almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Like my advice would be just do this again.
Yeah.
It's like the hard part, like getting a band, you know, keeping a band together, making sure everybody's good, getting, you know, everybody's relationship, having dudes that you can be out on the road with and play and everybody loves the music that's going on. Like that to me is like, so much easier than having sold out shows and dealing with, you know, somebody who you don't want to be on the road with and a guitar player leaving and like that kind of stuff. So
I would say
that, I mean, it would have been cooler if we'd have made a lot more money this whole time.
Right.
But also it's like we all,
true.
Yeah.
But I mean, we all stayed alive and we're all here. So I think if I could go back, I would just try to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
just enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Just
stick with what we got going on and see where it goes.
Keep moving.
Keep the faith. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. What do you guys have coming in down the line? Any more music in the tank right now?
Yeah, so Friday. Is it Wednesday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Friday, we got our new single that comes out.
Hell yeah.
So.
Oh, that's the new one you sent me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that one to come out. So.
Yeah, what
what's it called?
Love Me Too.
And tell us the process about that. Did you write this one?
Me and Sam wrote it.
Cool, yeah. And then who did production on it?
Taylor Kimball.
Cool, sick.
And
Sam from Trudy Oak?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me and Sam wrote on it and, we had, whenever they were working on, you know, their new album that they're going in to record before long, I sat down with him and we were writing just kind of, me and him were both just kind of trying to get some songs on paper because I knew I needed some, he knew, you know, he needed some, and we ended up with a few good ones, and Sam was like, man, I don't think that I really want to do anything with this one, so I was like, I think it's perfect for me.
Yeah.
And so we took off with it from there and took it to Taylor, and I really like what Taylor did with it. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's cool,
kind of a different sound than what we've had before, but we're all happy with it, so as long as everybody's cool with it, then you know, we're good to put it out. So.
Well, that's what it's about, and I mean, if your sound's exactly the same the whole time, people are going to get bored.
Right.
But it also has to be like, if you completely drastically change, then people are going to go crazy too.
Right.
So it's like, how do you get your current listener base to make sure they love it? But then also, how do you get it to get out to possibly get you a bigger listening base?
Yeah.
You know,
we don't have very many slow songs.
Yeah.
You know, all of our stuff's pretty heavy rock kind of.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're kind of getting older and I'm getting to where like, I want to not necessarily play so slow songs, but like, I want to try to like make sure I'm telling the story that I want to tell instead of just making a bunch of racket the whole time. Not saying that, but you know what I mean, though.
I love that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're all getting a little bit older, where we're like, hey,
a little
like,
more refined.
Yeah, a little more, a little more cleaned up.
More to say.
Yeah. So we just kind of slowed this one down. I definitely think the stuff after this is going to be, you know, more up our other alley we were going down.
Yeah.
But we wanted to try this and just see what we thought.
I mean, think about bands like Whiskey Myers that have just heaters, but then also have like really slow winding songs that
absolutely
are emotional, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of being a good artist.
That's it.
You know?
Yeah. I always talk about them. Like, if you can take artists on a journey with your show or with an album,
absolutely,
like you're doing your job right. You know, if you're taking like the fans on that journey, if you can do it in one song, it's like, for me, that's like a game changer.
Absolutely.
So it's like, if you can feel like two or three kinds of emotions from one song, you're like, damn. But the majority of times, it's you have a whole show to do that, or you have a whole record to do that if you're cutting a record or an EP, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you played the new track in your guys' live show yet?
No, we haven't yet. And I think most of that is just because we've been off. Like, since we recorded it, we've had our off time right here.
Yeah.
And everybody's, you know, if we're like, hey, let's meet up and go over stuff or go through this, everybody's like, ah, we're off. You know? So it's like we haven't really been meeting up as much as we should. We kind of started back about 2 weeks ago, and we got it ironed out.
Cool.
Ready to go, but we just haven't
played out
yet. Yeah, we just haven't been out.
Well, it's part of being a band, too. It's like, you don't want to spend too much time together. you know, you need a little break. You don't fucking fight and shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so we just been kind of hanging around lately.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, dude. You got to take time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When are you guys back out? Like, are you touring extensively here soon?
Yeah, so next weekend, we go back and we start down in Texas. And then the weekend after that's our last weekend off. And then we hit the road with Colby Cooper for a little bit. Sick. And then we're back into full swing. Yeah.
Love Colby.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Colby on back when we were doing the pod at Kurt's extra bedroom in his house.
Which is funny because it's like I was on YouTube like checking out one of our episodes for some reason and I was like, oh, I forgot, like, we had Colby Cooper was like in my house and like Lainey Wilson was like in my house, like cutting podcasts. It's funny.
Before we had the studio.
Yeah.
This is a cool studio.
Yeah. Thanks, man. It's great, man. We love it. It's been a lot of hard work and money. But
yeah,
it's cool. And we're just going to spend more money. That's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to test like the cameras to see if like better quality cameras make it look way better or if it's like some other gear.
Yeah, you know, lighting.
Kind of like what we need to make it colors. Exactly right.
If someone is listening to this podcast and they work for Geek Squad, hit us up.
Yeah, or someone like Geek Squad, but not Geek Squad. Yeah. it's super... super interesting. I mean, just like everything, like it's a process, right? So us getting this podcast studio, first we found the space, then we found the person that could help us with, like, so we found our buddy Brett through Kurt's been buddies with him and I.
Who literally worked at Geek Squad.
Yeah. And so he's a videographer, photographer, so he kind of helped us set it up. And we were like, he's like, what's your budget? And we're like, well, we don't really have one, but we don't have any money, so.
And Nick got this cool knife.
Yeah, so. Then we found that knife when we were on a road trip, and I had to buy it.
That is a cool knife.
I mean, how do you not buy that when you see it, you know?
That is cool.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
I seen it yesterday at the vintage guitar store.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Carter's.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think there was a guitar in there that was, like, issued to the U.S. Army. From World War II.
Wow.
And it had it engraved on the headstock.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cool shit.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They have some amazing stuff in there. Yeah, it was only been in there once, but.
I recently smoked some marijuana and went to Cabela's or Bass Pro or whatever. And they
sounds
have,
like a blessed
day. That does sound like a blast.
That like, gun museum or whatever. Yeah. And I was looking at all these old like Colt 45s and stuff like that. I was like, whoa. I was in Dallas. I'm like, it's only $3,000. That's not that bad. It's like from like 1890 or something. Yeah. And I was like, I should get that. I didn't though. Because I'm like,
probably can't shoot it.
Yeah, or fly home with it, or I'm sure. Yeah. But anyway.
You could probably fly home with it.
Yeah, dude. And Carter's is crazy, man.
It
dude,
was cool.
I think like Post Malone went in there and bought like 9 guitars at like $1 million or something recently.
Yeah, I heard that story yesterday.
Yeah.
So crazy. Yeah, Posty's been in town a lot.
He's
so,
in town right now.
Yeah. He has
playing the Opry tonight.
Yeah, he's playing the Opry, and he'll just randomly be at Loser sometimes while we're there.
Like, oh, that's cool.
In the back, or just, you know, you'll just see him bop it and play a song in random bars and stuff.
That's cool.
He's been around. That's been nuts.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's coming to a bunch of our shows, and I've gotten to, like, just, like, sit like we're doing now. Not recorded, of course, but he's just, like, the nicest guy. He's, like, so cool, man.
Yeah. Seems like it.
Yeah. And all that stuff he's putting out is, like, gas.
Yeah.
All that new country music, dude.
It's cool, but it's neat, too. Like, so one of the things about being in town is you can kind of see stuff before it happens a little. So we were like, why is Post Malone in town so much, you know?
Yeah.
Before he was, like, really cutting country songs. Mm-hmm. But
right.
He was writing. Yeah, he was writing and getting to understand, like, what's happening here and, you know, probably taking meetings and all of that.
That's cool.
Have you done any writing since you're in town?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote yesterday with Joey Green. that wrote White Girl, and then I wrote with Jack Routon.
Yeah.
In the morning, yep. And the day before that, I wrote with Jack. So
yeah, got him hooked up with old Jack, Warner Chappell, now publishing. He was has a bunch of the Gavin Adcock songs.
Oh, cool.
Jack's playing on Sunday too at Rowdy on the Row, our first one at Losers.
Cool.
So where you're playing tonight at Losers, we used to host writers rounds at Live Oak, and then they moved buildings, and I think they're not even open yet again, but we're moving our writers rounds over to Losers too. So like what you're playing is like five songs, just you, as opposed to like writers round, which is, you know, like three songs each, like in a circle.
Oh, cool.
So but we're moving those over there too, and then it sounds like we're probably going to be doing some stuff over at what is going to be called Riley Green's Duck Blind, which is
I seen that winners. Yesterday. Yeah, the sign.
That's
about
public
it.
Now, yeah. So someone else told me that. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I've seen the
yeah, they released it. But so I think we're probably going to be doing some events over there too. So
that'll be awesome.
Kind of cool. Yeah. Riley's one of the dudes that we like, that I covered pretty early before he really was popping. So it's kind of full circle to now be getting to host in a bar that he's a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good call.
Yeah, super cool. Yeah. Okay, so you guys are going out on the road. Essentials that you make sure you have with you when you guys are out on the road, in terms of like snacks or just like anything in general?
That's a good question.
We eat a lot of beef jerky.
Yeah. I mean, that's the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We eat a lot of beef jerky, beer. Mm-hmm. We're always drinking beer and hanging out.
What kind of beer?
I drink Michelob
Ultra.
Yeah. The guys, they like Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to be like a craft beer guy kind of, and then the problem is you just get hazy brained from like two of them.
Yeah, I can't handle craft beer. Yeah. I'm not against it.
Yeah.
You know?
They just do me dirty the next day.
I just don't really like them.
Yeah.
I love them. And then I got old. And now I just drink my light beers.
Yeah.
I could drink like 10 of these or Yingling or whatever, like gas station beer, and then not feel horrible the next day.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool.
Yeah. How about on stage? Do you guys like get rowdy drinking on stage, or you keep it mostly for the post party?
No, we drink on stage.
Yeah.
We got Tyler, our drummer, somehow found a beer bong at a show we were at the other day, and he came out during I was playing an acoustic song, because in the middle of our set I play some of our acoustic songs. And he somehow whips up, I hear everybody yelling in the crowd. I have no clue, like,
you're like,
why
they're crushing this right
now.
Yeah,
I'm like, they love it. I turn around and Tyler is standing on top of an amp beer bonging Travis while Travis is playing guitar. So that's a thing that's been going on for a little bit.
We had a lot of stuff like that where it was kind of like built into the show, like not like on purpose, we didn't like decide it, but it just would happen a lot.
Yeah.
And we used to play the song Luke Combs song Sheriff, and I would play this dobro solo, and Rob would always come over with a handle of Jack, and he would just be drinking it like during the solo, and then it started where he would hand it to me, and I would play with like the Jack Daniels bottle, and Gary Allen, steel player, does that too. But then our front house guy was like, I'm like, does that sound okay? You know, I would never play anything complicated. He goes, yeah, but then the rest of the set sounded like shit after you drank all that Jack. I'm like, okay, good to know.
Yeah, it happens.
That was back in the good old days.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we normally keep it to just beer on stage unless you're playing somewhere and, you know, they're like, here, take this shot. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you.
Okie dokie.
That has to be the hard part, you know, is like when people are giving you free liquor on stage and you're like, damn. Well, how about closer to the end?
Yeah. It's not bad if it, you know, if it's good liquor. Normally it's like bottom shelf tequila or Everclear or something. I'm like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm like, true. Let's just chill out.
Yeah.
I was at a Cadillac 3 one time and like I would always like, if I was there, I would always like buy the boys shots and like set up a stage. And the one time Jaron's like, bro, if I do this shot, I'm gonna forget all the words. And he was like, but I'll do it. And then he forgot all the words in the next song.
Dude, that's a great story. I didn't know that.
It was so great. I was cracking up.
I love Cadillac 3, man. It's been a minute since I've seen them.
Have you ever seen them live?
I haven't.
Dude, they're sick. It's really a three-piece. Kelby plays steel, but he plays it, and they run it through a steel amp, plus they run it through a bass amp. So it kind of plays bass and steel.
Oh, cool.
And it just gives it this really, like, swampy, muddy sound.
Yeah.
It's super cool.
It does sound awesome.
Yeah,
and then Jaron's, like, he's
rock
definition of a rock star. He's just a crazy good guitar player. He's a vocalist, too.
Oh, cool.
So,
Neil's,
you have to check them out.
Neil's destroys the drums and is a great writer as well, and kind of, like, is, like, a second manager for them. He's, like, Neil is the busiest dude I know that just loves being busy. Like, not only does he have like a family, but he manages other artists, plus does a lot of like the road shit for the Cadillac 3 and
writes.
Awesome.
I have to check them out.
Yeah, they're crazy. I mean, definitely Southern rock leaning, but their newer shit has definitely been more like genre, like fluid, I would say. Would you agree with that?
Sure. Yeah.
Like a little bit. It's all still rock, but it's like more kind of all over the place in it.
Yeah.
So I know you said like you're not listening to a ton of like current country music and stuff. Is there any music that you have been listening to, even if it's like old stuff?
Yeah, I do listen to a lot of old stuff. Mm-hmm. But lately I've been stuck on Tyler Halvorsen.
Yeah.
I've been listening to him nonstop. I don't know why, but I just can't get enough of it.
This shit's cool and it's awesome, funky, man. It's different.
It's different. It's cool.
Yeah. Have you ever got to see one of his shows?
Man, we went and watched him play one night, and we had a gig across town. I can't remember where we were at, and then he was playing on the other side, and we showed up, and there was like two songs left.
Yeah.
And time we got in there, he was pretty much done, so we just left. But other than that, no. When we were at Steamboat, he was there, and I sat down and talked to him for a little bit, but other than that, I haven't really seen him anywhere.
His set's cool, and it is like, it's definitely in that like Western-y vibe, but it's a little funkier sometimes, you know. It's like it's cool, it's eclectic. Steamboat, man, how was that? Have you been to that extensively or
No, I've been there twice.
Yeah.
I haven't played it.
Yeah, just going out hanging.
Yeah, we just go hang out and, yeah, it's a blast.
It seems crazy.
Yeah, it's fun.
We always talk about like we go to QS Songwriters Festival. Well, Kurt, when he's allowed to from the day job, you know. Mm-hmm. But and then they have Mile Zero down there. Severn always is like Steamboat and Mile Zero are like the complete opposite sides of the spectrum, but both like the same humongous party.
Yeah, you know? same thing. I haven't been to Mile Zero yet.
Mile Zero, I haven't been either, but QS is amazing.
It's like the same musicians, but just different location. Yeah,
yeah.
I've been to Steamboat. I've never, not during the festival. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It seems super cool.
It's gorgeous up there, man.
Oh, it's awesome. It does kind of get weird after you're there for a few days and it's still snowing. It's like, all right.
You're like, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go do something different.
Yeah. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, so I do not miss the snow, man. Not one bit.
In Steamboat, too, like some of the stuff's a little bit spread out. So it's like you got to walk into town, like walk into where everything's at in your snow clothes. Then you get there and you're inside. So you got to take your snow clothes off. Then it's like, where do I put these? Yep. You know?
Crazy.
So you got to put these back on to go back out here. And it's a bunch of. Yeah. It's kind of a mess.
Imagine that's your life all the time.
Yep. I was when I lived in Boston, but we just played in Cincinnati and it was so hot, man, on stage. And I was like, I cannot wait for it to be cold. I'm like, I want to watch football and I want to wear a sweater. And then I was just, now that we're talking about all this cold stuff, I'm like, I remember we started the tour and one of the first stops was Buffalo in April. It was freezing, man. I couldn't even play. Like my hands weren't moving. It's like, and then I'm like, it's just like the cool thing about Nashville is like you get all the seasons. So it's like, you get a hot, and you get tired of hot, and it gets cold, and you get tired of being cold, which is fun.
Yeah,
but I feel like I would rather play in the heat over the cold. But I'd rather. But besides playing, like I'd rather be colder than hot.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I'm about the same way. I mean, I don't mind the summertime for the first like few weeks of it. Mm-hmm. You know, go to the beach. I just got back from Destin, so
that's great.
Down there hanging out, it's nice. But then I'm ready for fall football.
Yep. Yeah,
same. Campfires.
Hey,
who's your football teams?
OSU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And any pro teams?
I watch Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. Dallas. Yeah. Yeah, it's a... That's always, like, college football is such a different thing. Like, I went to Pitt, and, you know, we're not that good. So, it's like, Steelers is the huge thing in Pittsburgh.
Right.
But here in the South, man, it's college football is king. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, we try not to play on Saturdays during football season. You know, it's like nobody's coming. Everybody's staying home.
That's so nuts to think about. Yeah. And it seems like that all throughout the SEC, too, you know, Georgia and Alabama and all those states. It's like, if you're planning on something where there's college football on, you're probably not going to get too many people to come to it.
Right. It's a Thursday, Friday, go home. Yeah. Come back Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
That's wild.
That's so crazy.
Or just go play someplace that has a bad football team.
That's what we normally go somewhere where there's good football teams and then just try to work around them.
Yeah.
Party.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, you know, if they're post show and it's in town, you know, try to get that
gig. Absolutely.
Because you're going to get the building crowd, you know? What are some of the things that you think has made you and the boys in the band be able to stay together for this long?
I don't know. I guess we're just all, like, best friends. Yeah. You know, like, we don't ever really have too much. I mean, back, you know, when we first started, we kind of did.
Yeah.
But even then, it wasn't anything that was big. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's always ups and downs with everything. Mm-hmm. But we've always been friends. I mean, we went to school together. You know, like, we went to high school together. So we've just been friends the whole time. And it's just like anything that, you know, if anybody needs something or needs an adjustment made for them to be able to make anything easier for them, then the other three are always like, yeah, we can do whatever, you know, to make sure that he gets done whatever he needs.
Yeah.
And I think that helps a bunch with making it all work, is everybody just working together to be like, whatever we need to do together.
Yeah.
You know, and then it kind of keeps everybody together instead of thinking, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. It's like, how can we all do whatever you need done?
Team mentality.
You
know?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And it helps too. It's like that everyone wants to be there.
Absolutely. And,
you know, like, everyone needs jobs, you mm-hmm. know, but it's like they are not wanting to stay at home and have a regular gig. It's like they want to do the thing. You know, so it's like finding people that are like willing to dedicate their life to it, which is kind of like a wild, you know, guess if it'll work or not. You know, it's a crazy thing to do.
Yeah.
And they're your family, really, which
yeah.
is
absolutely.
Cool.
And yeah, once you get, well, once you get like 5 years into it, it's like, well, you can't quit now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you just
getting good.
Yeah, yeah. You just done all this other stuff. Like you can't just quit now. So I think that's a lot of it too. And us just, I mean, being from a small town and stuff, it's like, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're going to play music and do this. And we just knew the whole time that we were. And it's like, we just are, mm-hmm. you know, like we're going to just keep working at it till it's done. So.
Yeah. I think that's a part of it too, is, I mean, it's with anything you do, it's how long are you willing to dedicate your life to it?
Right.
Right. Cause anything you just start, you might catch lightning in a bottle one time, but to really build a thing that you can build a career off the back of, you know, like
absolutely.
You have to put in time and effort into it.
Absolutely.
You know, and now, you know, you're getting booking agent, you have management and stuff, and, you know, producers that you like working with. And, you know, now it's like getting the songs that you love that you think are the right move, you know, and
right.
trying new things, you know, seeing if a song that is a little bit slower than what you're used to opens up another, you know, little group of fans and things like that.
Right. And I think a lot of that too is we work on everything. We try to work on everything. It's like a whole band. Mm-hmm. So if we do have a decision or something that's going to be made, we'll sit around and all of us will worry about that, you know, instead of little stuff that, hey, I don't want to do this other thing this way or this. Like, they, you know, like, just live with us not having a van this weekend. So, you know, nobody wants to fight.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but we're not worried about that. We're worried about, you know, getting our booking agent, doing the album. Like, we're not worried about how your feelings are about what we're driving there.
Yep.
Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and as long as everyone's on the same page as that. I mean,
they're very good at it.
That's exactly it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like I remember.
Yeah, they're the best.
I remember, like, my brother talking about him and his wife, and, like, his wife, you know, they were having a kid, and they were like, well, she's not going to work until he's in school. So, but we both are talking about, hey, we're not going to be able to get new cars. Like, you know, we're not going to be able to go on as many vacations as we did before.
Absolutely.
But it's like when you build that thing and you're pushing together, you just take what is there and you push forward.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think a band is very much that same mentality as, like, you know, a family.
Nick, you could be in my band, dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't be good at any instruments, though.
You could play bass, and we'll write all the notes on the back of the headstock.
Yeah. Problem is, I don't even know notes.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah.
Well, whatever, we'll put it in tracks. You just hold it.
Yeah. That would actually be the best gig for me, is me just on stage holding a bass guitar while the tracks are playing.
There you go.
Yeah, but you don't play tracks, so. Yeah,
but even on our days off, I can be sitting at home and it's a day off on a Saturday, and I ain't even got to call anybody. They'll just come trickling in, you know, 8, 10. Then everybody's over. We're drinking beer and hanging out. Or some if we go see a show somewhere, if you see one of us, everybody always says if you see one of us, the rest of us are not very far.
Yeah.
So if we go see a show or something, we'll, you know, we'll drive to see it, but we'll all just go together. And any of us that are anywhere, we're normally all four.
That's honestly great.
Right there,
just a band of brothers that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I love it.
Yeah. What are some, like, goals that you've got to accomplish? And is there anything that you have, like, your sights on in the future?
Yeah, some goals that we got to accomplish was, I'd say playing Calf Fry was a big one whenever we got there. Of course, we were younger when we'd done that, but we really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Then getting on the booking agent.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to book an agent forever because I was getting wore out after you do it forever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to book anymore. I want to play gigs, but I don't want to call anybody ever again or answer another email.
Right.
Yep.
So I'd say that was a pretty big accomplishment too. And it kind of showed everybody, like, hey, people are like
paying attention.
Like, yeah. People are paying attention. Like, we got this, you know, everything that we've been working on, working out.
Yeah.
And then something for the near future, probably just more sellouts.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to sell out in places that aren't right by the house.
Yeah.
Necessarily in our region, mm-hmm. you know, going somewhere else and selling out, or maybe not even selling out, just selling, you know, having a good amount of tickets where everybody knows us. You know, if we drive, you know, 7-8 hours from home or something like that, being able to sell tickets over there. So
yeah
that'd be cool.
Yeah. What do you guys do on social media? Like, do you have a social media person that helps you, or do you guys kind of do that in-house, or how's that work?
So we used to do it all in-house, mm-hmm. and in the last, like, 6 months, we have we signed with Venture, which mm-hmm. is a marketing company from town here, and they help us kind of put everything together. But we got Jackie, who's over there in the corner.
Hi, Jackie.
She is our she's been with, how long have you been here? 2 months? Yeah, 2 months. She's been with us, and she's helping us with all of our socials and camera stuff, and she pretty much runs it all now.
That's cool.
With the help of Venture. So.
Yeah.
And then Travis, our guitar player, he's our on our band side. He's the one that, you know,
kind of handles that side.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So super cool. It's an interesting thing. It's like some people have that brain, and some people don't, and some people that's their most favorite thing, and some it's like their last. So having someone in the band that can kind of take that role is always a good thing.
Yeah, he's good at it, especially the mechanical, like moving around Dropbox folders, and mm-hmm. I don't know nothing about all that. I don't have a clue.
Yeah, well, that's the best part about having a band, honestly. Is
yeah,
there's a lot of different people that can do different roles.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, strengths and weaknesses and all that. Mm-hmm. Just keep singing and rocking, bro.
Yeah.
Everything else will figure itself out, you know?
Yeah, the music is what breaks through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even the stuff where it's like social media, if your social media is not including the music, it's going to break through, but it might not last for super long. When the music breaks through, it keeps breaking through.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of artists on social media who get way big and then come back down and get way big and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So
yeah. Whereas if the music's there as the backbone of that, you raise that floor way up so that the waves don't go as low, you know,
yeah.
Which I think is a super important thing, too.
It is.
And the way you guys are building it, too, it seems like more of a slow burn, but like steady and solid, you know, just and you guys are like hitting the pavement and it's like gigging a lot and doing the thing, man, being in a fucking band, bro. Sick.
Yes. Well, we're super thankful to have you come on out here and be on the pod with us, bro.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. It's and thanks awesome. for jumping in down to Losers and playing for us tonight as well.
Yeah, you bet. I think it's going to be fun.
It's going to be sick, man.
It's a fun bar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a staple, I think.
Have you been there before?
Yeah, I played there one time. We did Whiskey Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, we did Whiskey Jam twice there.
Cool. So this one's actually going to be in Losers side, so the other side of the bar.
Okay.
So like that was Winners. That's like closed down right now, and the other side is Losers.
Okay. Well, I've been to Winners then.
Losers, this is the more like honky talk side of things.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be awesome.
Cool. Yeah, we're excited, man. And it's been good to like get to meet you. I know we've like chatted and like texted a little bit back and forth, and I know you probably talked to Sam too, but I appreciate you jumping into town and getting to hang with us a little bit, man.
Absolutely, man. Nice to meet you guys too. Yeah, and thanks for having me on.
For sure. Safe travel to you and the boys.
Thanks,
man.
All
right, brother. Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you on the front row.